It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
The candy pile out there is getting thin, Sean.
It is.
Melissa from down the hall, she's big in the Milk Duds.
Really?
I thought the same. They get in my teeth. I wouldn't think Milk Duds would be an option for her, but she's been, like all of us, just picking at the candy pile.
A lot of Baby Ruths left.
Yeah, I noticed the Baby Ruths aren't a favorite for anyone here.
Yeah.
And
More crunches left than you would think.
Yeah.
I'm a big crunch guy.
I went after a Heath bar or two, the mini Heath bars, and Melissa just walked out with about like six boxes of Milk Duds. That's her thing.
Take them.
Yeah, they're yours. They might still be back here when you get back on Monday as her week is over. You've seen her on John and Lance, Melissa Blanco, for Power down the hall. All right. So D'Amico and Ryan spoke. There are questions about how this team handles tight games. They were good in one-score games last year. It was part of the reason, if you had any concerns about the Texans, some of that, I don't know if you want to call it luck, but one-score games, by their nature, can flip from season to season. Sometimes you're really good. CJ Stroud has been good in those, and sometimes they flip back, and it affects your overall record. So they've lost their last two, and they've been in a lot of them this year so far. Just haven't gone their way this year. So D'Amico Ryans was asked about the criticism that his team is facing. It comes with the losses, and he's going to tell you they come with the territory.
When it comes to the outside noise on decision making and play calling, all those things, that's the NFL, right? We'll always get that. I don't listen to it. I don't have time to spend on everybody's opinion on how we're running our team and what we're calling and what we're doing, right? As a NFL coach, you make decisions and you stick by the decisions that you make. And everybody, of course, being an NFL head coach, probably one of the only jobs where everybody critiques you on Monday, right? That's the only job. And besides the NFL head coach and the president, you probably get critiqued on every decision that you make because everybody else has all the answers right after the fact, but nobody has the answers in the heat of the battle, in the heat of the moment. We can all hit rewind as many times. We can slow it down as much as we want to, but that's why I'm here to make the decisions, and that's how it'll be.
We're in a world where people are making decisions at the time. Not everyone's using review to determine whether you're right or wrong. People are calling things out before. But to his point, there's a difference between, you know, winning and losing can cost you your job, or someone who is sitting down at home criticizing the team. Yes, there's more pressure on you. Understood. But sometimes it's not hindsight when someone knows you should be doing something else. It's just they don't have the pressure of doing it in the moment. Sure. So criticism is not going to bother him. We know that. He's been in the NFL for a very long time, from a player to a coach. I don't expect that to be an issue, but I wouldn't be surprised if the jovial D'Amico that we've seen, because it's kind of been an easy pass so far. Who's been questioning D'Amico Ryans through the first, 29 games or so of his coaching career? It's been none of that. And this all comes with the expectation that you're a real contender. The fact that you don't look like one right now is where this is coming from. A 6-4 record for last year's Texans, love it. We'd love it. But this was supposed to be a team who was fighting with the Chiefs and the Ravens and others for a chance to go out there and go win a Super Bowl. Now you look like a version of all the other teams we've seen here, who were good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to take a big step. That's what's bothering people. And D'Amico still has a buffer because Bobby Sloak is between him and most of the arrows. If we're talking about human meat shields, it's Bobby Sloak. It's not D'Amico.
There's one more.
For us, it's Chris Strausser.
I spoke to the media last week.
Yeah, you got to throw him out
that's
there.
That's D'Amico Ryans.
Yep.
Not quite the throwing himself behind him, but
I don't play Call of Duty.
If Aaron Wilson wants to shoot an arrow or two at him.
True. I don't play Call of Duty, but there's a new one coming out, and I saw that you can hold a body in front of you, and they can take all the shots while you're firing. That's what throwing Strausser out there is.
Yeah. Strausser and Sloak.
Maybe it's not done intentionally, but that's what it is. Throw fresh meat to everyone. Strausser. Sloak's out there every week, so he's used to it. Strausser, go out there and answer questions, but don't show your face. We don't do that to you. I don't know why that was a thing.
To protect your identity.
We can still go to the website and see who you are. But, yes, if you missed it last week, Chris Strausser spoke, but no one could film him. At least you could film him, but with the camera pointed at the floor.
Do you think that D'Amico Ryans is going to be pretty immune from the actual heat that we're talking about where, you know, the first year and a half of his coaching career, it's been only exceeding expectations until very recently. Do you think that until the playoffs, he kind of has a free ride or free-ish ride, assuming that they make the play? I think we all assume they're going to make the playoffs. So do you think until they actually get there and then perhaps disappoint in the playoffs, like it's all – No one's going to say that the Texans have a D'Amico Ryans problem until then.
There won't be any real pressure on him until the playoffs. But if they get through this stretch at 9-4, what is it? The Cowboys, the Jags, and the Titans, and not in that order, but that's who they play, I believe. That's 9-4. People will be fine, but they'll still be looking at that next stretch. I don't know where the Dolphins will be. They could be a 5-6 team, that's not possible. They could be anywhere from 6-6, so maybe they lose all three. Who knows? Who knows where they are? But if they are a team pushing for a playoff spot and the Chiefs are there and the Ravens are there, now you're talking about teams with quarterbacks that exceed what they're going to see the next 3 weeks, teams that are either contending or fighting for a playoff spot, and they don't do well in that stretch, then it comes back. Not to the point where D'Amico Ryans has to worry because – the Texans aren't firing.
Yeah, no, I just
meant, as far as people questioning things,
just PR-wise.
It'll be a Sloak thing. Particularly if the CJ we've seen for the first 10 weeks continues, where he's not operating at peak CJ Stroud, Sloak will be the one. Whether the Texans feel that way or not, the talk will be about what's wrong with this offense. Why can't Bobby Sloak get answers for CJ? Why is he hurting the trajectory of a good young quarterback? Because CJ has around the league. He has a great, I'm trying to think of the exact word for it, how people treat him, but it's like he's Teflon. He's Teflon right now. Anytime you talk about him and any of the struggles outside of Houston, it's about, well, they're not doing enough for him. The offense isn't fitting for him.
Either what are the line or the play call.
And that's true. The line is not good. It is affecting the way he plays. But even when there are obvious mistakes by him, it is excused by, well, this is all stemming from the line not playing well, and it's leading him to not be as good as he was, and the coordinator's not doing enough. Even when there are obvious things, it's like, well, the buildup to it led to this. So he's Teflon. CJ's more Teflon than D'Amico, but they're neck and neck for that. And if they come out of this next six games or so, and they're like 9-7. Or maybe they're only 10-6. They drop 2 out of 3 against that next stretch after these three. The questions will start up, and we'll be asking, is this team playoff ready? Can they get past a potential game against the Steelers or the Ravens if they're the 4 seed? And then if you drop a game at home in the playoffs, then next year, not that he's in trouble, but it'll be, hey.
It'll be loud.
The honeymoon stuff will be over pretty quickly.
Yeah.
This show, we can't put pressure on anyone. We will just ask the questions we always ask in a way that doesn't sound like we're all that serious. Mm-hmm. But for the people who think they actually have any pull and they can start the beat and start the drumbeat of what's going on, that'll become a thing throughout next season. If this season doesn't turn around in the way that makes us feel pretty good about them no matter how it ends this year.
Yeah. I think that's fair to where not on the hot seat or anything close to it this season, this off season probably. But going into next year, that's when, again, probably still not like job on the line, but more eyes on him. I guess less Teflon is the way to go. These guys are going to be less Teflon if what looks like the trajectory of their season's happening actually does happen. Yeah, now, there's still time for them to pull out of it.
They fix things and they wind up like, I don't know, if they wind up 12-5 or something like that, then the concerns will lessen. We just have to see it. Speaking of stuff like that, Nick Sirianni's on my TV right now. He was a guy coming into this year despite making a Super Bowl, despite being one of the best teams of football until late last year where things fell apart. He had to go fire two coordinators. The Eagles left him hanging for a week or so before they made a decision about his job. So when people are like, why would you question DeMeco? That's just a business of the NFL. Now, Philly's a different town, and maybe the ownership had lost confidence in Nick Sirianni. That's why he had to make the two hires, and maybe they made those hires themselves and told him, get your hands out of the offense. You're now just a CEO type as opposed to someone who's really making offensive personnel decisions. You let Kellen Moore do that, and you certainly let Vic Fangio run his defense the way they want. I don't think that happens here. I think there's been so much ineptitude and so much concern about how this organization is run. They won't be digging deep into ripping away DeMeco's power. That's not happening here. It's been too much awfulness, and what we saw last year is going to give him a long, long run to try to make things work, and I don't have any reason to believe he won't. I just do think it's interesting that that is already kind of building to a point where they want him to fire his OC. Not that they want him gone, but people want him to fire the OC that everyone was so afraid of losing just 6 months ago. So there we are. Just how the NFL works. And he told you that. When we come back, we will get into the Cougs, or at least getting a guy to commit who's the best point guard in the country. Some good news for the Cougs. We'll also talk some college football as well, as Sean's Longhorns need to be on high alert going into Fayetteville. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
That's Michael Carroll. He'll join us in a little bit here. Co-host of Comicast. Their newest issue is about the Penguin, the season's finale. And I can say that now because we're probably getting a season two. So unlikely that it'll be the series finale of one of the hits for HBO this year. Really good show. Check it out.
By the way, and yes, we'll talk about the Penguins, whatever. Speaking of shows, did you see the recent news? It's something that we talked about on the show a little while ago.
I didn't.
Oh.
Or maybe I didn't. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
What's the news?
Friday Night Lights is getting rebooted.
Is it going to be a straight reboot, or are we getting like the cast older and their kids playing high school football?
So from, I don't know what, it's from some newsletter, Puck News, I don't know. The series will be set in the same universe as the original, but with new characters.
And I'm sure the older characters are going to float in because that's what they always do.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, what's her name? Tyra. What's Tyra up to? She can't make an appearance. I think we've already had this.
Yeah,
talk.
No. We've literally.
We've talked about
what is Amy Teagarden doing.
Yeah,
yes.
And we've had the Landry's probably too busy. All the things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm in.
What starts here, you know, affects Hollywood.
Yeah. I I knew we should have done something to make sure we get credit.
I feel like now I just have an internal clock for, you know what, this thing probably is going to get rebooted.
So they're already telling us that Coach Taylor, his wife, Smash, and Landry are not expected to return. So
Smash can come back.
Yeah, what's Smash up to? What's Gaius Charles up to? What's he doing? Smash can't come back as like a as an agent or a whatever.
Even just like a hey kid, I've been in your shoes before.
So I don't. The problem is I don't want Smash still hanging out in that town. I want Smash out of that town as far as his growth. But
yeah.
But maybe he comes back for some reason. But he's not living there.
Oh, there's got to be a reunion episode or a homecoming, 20th reunion.
Yeah, I don't need it to be where Smash comes back hard on his luck, and now he's helping out the new coach. I don't need that.
I think Riggins is that.
Riggins never left. But although the whole Riggins thing was like, maybe Riggins will finally get out. Riggins never gets out.
No.
Yeah, Smash is in The Walking Dead, Dead City. It's not like he's not working. So that series is still ongoing, so I guess he doesn't have the time. Man, you can make
it. Oh, yeah, I forgot. How can you possibly make time when you're making Walking Dead, the Dead City?
Going into season two, Sean. They're prepping for season two. All right.
Okay. Cool.
I would love to see Smash back. Voot, speaking of that, I mentioned the show, since we're not going to do what I plan to do anyway.
Oh,
who
sorry.
Cares? It doesn't matter.
We talked about movies, and I saw the Friday Night Lights thing
this
morning.
Understood.
And I realized I haven't.
I was talking about Alex Cross on Prime. I just tuned in because the game was on Prime, so I just started to watch that. Voodoo Tatum is the star of that show.
How often do you think people are like, hey, Voodoo Tatum?
Well, it depends because his name is he was also like, was it Hawkman in the Black Adam movie?
That was him.
Yes, I
saw Black Adam and I did not put together that's Voodoo Tatum.
That's Voodoo Tatum, but he's also in a show called Leverage that had a cult following. He probably gets that more than Voodoo Tatum
than a 20-year-old role that he was in.
Yeah, he probably gets someone where he was a starring character for multiple seasons, other than four episodes of being
Season
Voodoo
one.
Tatum. Yeah, he probably doesn't get mentioned, but I remember him as Voodoo Tatum.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I know what show you're talking about because I was like, oh, that guy looks – who's he look like? And yeah, it was Voodoo Tatum.
I'm going to run at him. Just pull that if I ever see him. Mm-hmm. Voodoo Tatum, right? not that other stuff he's been in.
You had a cup of coffee for the Dillon Panthers.
Yeah. Saracen was always a better quarterback.
Better fit for the offense,
definitely. Voodoo.
He just ran the stuff. Just ran it.
If the outlet was open, he was going to throw it to him. He was going to hand the ball off. Voodoo was a playmaker. Voodoo, much like CJ Stroud, game changer.
See, I was going to give him the Anthony Richardson comp.
Well, I have more respect for Voodoo than that.
Oh, I'm sure Anthony Richardson was awesome in high school.
He barely played in high school.
I'm sure he was awesome when he played.
You get a scholarship to Florida, that's probably the case. Voodoo Tatum, game changer. Now, solving crimes on Prime as Alex Cross.
It should be.
What a glow up for Voodoo Tatum.
The spinoff series.
So it's Voodoo Cross? Alex Cross is just a mantle. It's like a superhero name, but he's really Voodoo Tatum in disguise?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's fine. The first couple of episodes I've seen, it's okay. I don't know if Michael will tell you to watch it or not. Since we're not going to play more or even talk about Texas versus Arkansas or play some sound because Sean rightfully distracted me with TV stuff.
Sorry.
Nah, I welcome it. Well,
Texas upset alert. There's
Michael saying you stole his time because you short-circuited some of the things
you
were talking about.
Sorry.
Got producers.
Right, is Michael going to be able to fit his ego through the door to sit down with
Michael
him?
Said off air, got producers all up in the video dancing and stuff, just doing whatever they want. Michael, very Suge Knight.
At least I don't voice my own segment intro.
Yeah, we did call him out on that early. We've left it alone. But I respect it. All, you know what? We can unex the phones because if someone does want to call in about what we want to talk about, this is the time for it.
I didn't think Michael would allow it.
Well, it's still my show. I know it's his segment, but it's still my show. So if anyone wants to call in about what we're talking about, Michael will welcome your calls. We can do that. 713-780-3776. We'll be back with Michael Carroll. He'll talk about what you should or shouldn't be watching. The host of Comicast joins us shortly. But first, I want to talk about MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag if you want to bet on the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. It's featured on the front page, so you know you can bet on it. Maybe you want to stick with the NFL or college football or the second day, match day two of NBA Cup action. You can do that as well. They have it all for you at MyBookie. Just check them out. Use that promo code BET975. And remember, you can put in $200. They'll match $200. They'll match up to $1,000. And you also get 10 casino chips if you want to use the casino to play cards. They have that live casino option where you get to see the dealers when you're playing back blackjack and poker. It's all there for you at mybookie.ag. And remember, throughout, whether it's a Thursday with their risk-free bet day, or you remember they have that tiered program, that loyalty rewards program called MyBookie Plus, where the more you bet, the more chances you have to win prizes. They have so many ways to have fun at mybookie.ag. Just remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is the co-host of Comicast, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts, and also on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 on ESPN 975. Michael Carroll, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. And it was a struggle to get my ego through the door, but I made it.
Understood. And since Sean took some of your time by talking about things we say for this segment, I will mention this. The Cougs did get the number one point guard in the country. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
He fits exactly what they want to do. I looked up his scouting report just to see, hey, did they get a shooter? No. Yeah. One of his weaknesses needs to work on his jump shot. So he is exactly what you might expect as a Kelvin Sampson player. Plays defense, will get after you, loves to pick up guys and make them work on the defensive end of the floor. The whole shooting thing, not his thing. Yeah. But that's okay. That hasn't mattered, you know, until the postseason, the tournament. Shooting struggles do matter then. But as far as winning a conference like the Big 12, whatever. Kingston Flemings is a recruit, top 20 recruit in the country. Number one point guard is a Coug.
I could have sworn we did this the last time. Yes.
It was the same type of guy.
Where it was maybe a shooting guard, but it was the exact same profile.
Yes.
Maybe. Probably.
You it's all right. Yeah. You play defense first for the Cougs, and that'll continue with Kingston
shooting
Flemings.
Comes later.
Yes. It's optional in some
cases.
Can't
argue with the results, to be honest.
Yes. They've been a dominant regular season team and have made some deep runs in the tournament as well. But now that that's out of the way, since I had to balance things out, we can get to a Michael Carroll segment.
Thoughts on Voodoo Tatum before we go?
You mean Aldis Hodge?
Aldis Hodge, that's his name.
That's his name.
He has a brother who acts as well. I forgot what his first name is, but
Julius Hodge?
That is a former small forward for North Carolina State. No.
Oh.
It is not Julius. Okay. He also was one who got punched in the nuts by Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So that is him. His brother's name Edwin. He was part of. He was in the first Purge movie. He was the stranger in the Purge movie.
Oh, was he really?
Yes.
Oh,
that's Edwin Hodge.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So Michael Carroll. You certainly have your co-host back, and you guys talked a lot about the Penguin.
Yes.
If you want to hear a spoiler review of the Penguin, Episode 8, what now appears to be a season finale, not a series finale, you can check it out on Comicast, and I gave you where you can find it on ESPN 975, obviously in podcast form as well. Now that the season is over, and we see the Penguin kind of take on his form that we know him for with the top hat, which he didn't put on, but, you know, he's got the suit on.
Yeah,
but the top
hat
was there. And, of course, the show – actually, I won't give you the final part because if you haven't watched it, there is a somewhat of a spoiler at the end. I mean, you might have expected it considering where the show is located. But
right, and where it's going to go.
Yeah, something did pop up late. What are your overall impressions? Did you like the arc? And are you a fan of letting a villain be a villain as opposed to someone who is more of an anti-hero.
No, I mean, this show, I think, is one of the better shows of this year. I have it up there just behind Shogun and probably Fallout for me personally. But it's I loved where it went. I loved that. I've heard that discussion about him being an anti-hero, and I don't think he ever was an anti-hero. I think he was you knew who he was from the jump. I think the closer anti-hero was Sophia.
Yeah.
If anything,
trying to change the system, yeah, tear it all down, all that stuff.
That one's probably a little bit better, but like Oz was Oz throughout. It was just his final ascension and final shreds of losing his humanity to become the villain that we all know and kind of love, don't love, whatever you want to say. But the one thing I do want to add is that I think people trying to group it with just or have the qualifier of comic book show, it's just a good show.
Yeah.
I think it's just one of the better shows that's out there. You don't have to – sure, you could watch the Batman the film just so you have a better sense of why Crown Point is destroyed as it is and why certain things have happened. But you could watch that show and not have any Batman knowledge or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just a well-written, well-done show.
It can be a standalone show, but of course for people who know the comics or watch comic book movies, there's just an added little plus because of all the connections to the DC world, particularly the Batman world. But like you said, it is a crime show about someone trying to come up who was looked at in a not so positive way by the people around him and his fight to climb to the top.
And honestly, a tragic story because of that what too. Happens to what I would say were the three main characters, Victor, Sophia, and Oz. Those are your three main ones. And you could maybe throw in Frances in there, Oz's mom.
The one thing she didn't want at the end happened to her.
Yeah. And all the things that Oz gets to, like, you know, his ascension, which I don't think that was a question. Like, that's not a spoiler. He was going to rise to power to become the Penguin that we know.
Yeah.
But to what he does to get to that point, I just found it fascinating, horrifying, tragic. I mean, it's all these different elements that make it such a good show, I think.
To the very end, keeping a lie alive that everyone knows is a lie, and the fact that his mother knew since the jump, and she let him go on perpetuating that lie.
Wild.
Was wild.
Wild.
So it's rare, unfortunately, that genre TV hits the finale the way this one hit it out of the park, but this one did. It was just a perfect capper to the end of the season, and we'll see where they go with season two. Of course, the Batman, the second one, or I don't know if they're calling it part two.
Right now it's just the Batman part two.
That
may change, but yeah, Batman part two.
We'll see more of Oz. Colin Farrell has already confirmed that he's in that second movie, so we'll see him more as a Penguin, and obviously coming out of that, I guess that kind of informs you he's going to make it through that movie, too, to be in season two.
Yeah, because I think he signed up for three movies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was talk before the show started about, oh, he's not going to do a season two because he was like, oh, I can't stand doing that thing, the prosthetics and everything.
Yeah.
It's like a three-hour process every time he has to do it.
Yeah.
Which I would understand, but with the reception that he's gotten and with...
Let him get Emmy nominated and we'll see if he's
He's come around and said... Looking at the script, like if we can get something as good as we got this season, I'm down to play this character.
The work will take over again. More than some of the inconvenience of what he has to get into that role.
Mm-hmm.
And the work, from all accounts, was very, very good. His work and the writing and the storyline overall. So as Michael told you, if you hear the Penguin and go, I don't watch comic book movies. It's a Sunday night show on HBO. That should tell you something about where they held, in what regard they held it in, and it lived up to that. Okay, so... You can find out more about Michael's thoughts on The Penguin and certainly John Lee's thoughts as well. Comicast, you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. So, as far as things people may not have watched, what would you recommend or not recommend?
I wouldn't recommend going to the theater this weekend. It's a quiet weekend. I mean, sure, there is Red One. The
Rock movie?
The Rock, Chris Evans,
why are you,
Lucy Liu.
Sean is nodding his head like, yeah. Red One.
That man put on his headphones so quick.
No, this one I can't even.
Yeah, no, this one? You draw the line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, it's way too early for a Christmas movie to be coming out.
I agree.
Wait 2 weeks.
It's the kidnapping of Santa Claus, so it's poor reviews, man. It's 33% right now.
Yeah, I'm almost always hesitant when I see big name action star doing things, putting them in roles that you wouldn't expect. But we're just grouping them all together, and I almost always assume disaster, at least not a good movie.
I could see like some audiences liking it. Excuse me. I could see some audiences liking it, but it's probably like that 50 range for audiences and whatnot. So I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't recommend it. There's also the movie Here with Tom Hanks and reuniting with Robert Zemeckis.
And Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Also not getting great reviews. If anything, go watch the Fifth Element re-release. That's happening this weekend.
Okay.
On Sunday in limited windows. So
yeah, Robin Wright, Tom Hanks, Paul Bettany, a lot of names and a lot of faces you're going to recognize come together for apparently not so good movie.
Not great. While theater is lacking, Dell, there's so much streaming this weekend.
It's very true.
Literally, like going through, you've already mentioned Cross, which is solid, solid reviews so far. There's also The Day of the Jackal, season one premieres on Peacock. I am surprised that this one is getting good reviews, honestly, because Eddie Redmayne, who's been in like the main thing I can think of is Fantastic Beasts for him.
Yeah, he's been in some of the artsy movies.
Yeah, the artsy type stuff.
Yeah.
But this is him as an assassin, which is interesting. And Lashana Lynch, I like Lashana Lynch, of course, from like Captain Marvel and all that. She's in this show that's on Peacock, and it's getting solid reviews, similar in the vein of Cross, where it's like 82% right now. On Rotten Tomatoes. You also have Silo season two.
I watched episode one yesterday.
Did you like it?
I probably have to watch it again because I was tired. It was after the football game. I'm gonna have to watch it again. But for the people who haven't seen it, it's a lot of Rebecca Ferguson in episode one. I think she may be the only person outside of like the initial recap, if I remember correctly. She's the only person you see outside of her flashbacks as a kid. They're flashbacks from her time as a child. But as far as in the present, you only see her, and then there's someone you see at the very end, but you only see that person's eyes. It's a lot of her doing – it's almost like a video game where you have to solve puzzles because she's in a decrepit place where she has to traverse stuff. It's almost like – it's almost like that if you have to solve the problems to get the spots. And then at the very end, you see someone and it sets up episode two.
It's a show that I've wanted to watch. I just haven't because I'm on and off Apple TV Plus every now and then. Yeah. So
season one, I enjoyed.
It sounds like a show up my alley.
Yeah.
Also, Dune Prophecy season one premieres this Sunday on HBO.
We've got Arcane, the next three episodes, right?
You got Arcane season two, act two on Saturday. Yeah. You have Say Nothing, a limited series on FX on Hulu.
I watched that yesterday too. Somehow I recovered and wasn't so tired and watched it. That one's good. It's about the troubles in Ireland, in Northern Ireland trying to fight for their independence. It's from the perspective of someone who was in it, and they're retelling the story. And then of course we get the flashbacks because, you know, a lot of secrecy. If you talk, you're probably gonna die. So it even starts with, it's like a podcast, and starts with the character they're talking, the podcast host asks, and she goes, "Well, normally we didn't talk about this stuff." And he goes, "Don't worry, this won't even be released until you're dead." That's how secretive they want to be about it. So that's the tone of the beginning. And it was at least the first couple episodes I really liked.
There's also Landman season one on Paramount Plus, but that's part of that's another Taylor Sheridan joint, if you will.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton's in it. It's middle reviews so far. The first two episodes premiere on Sunday on Paramount Plus. So for folks that want to go check that out, if you like Taylor Sheridan shows, you probably will like that. It's in the vein of like Yellowstone and stuff.
Sure.
One of the better movies of this year, Thelma, is releasing on Hulu. Currently, that film is at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and 83% with fans. So if you want to go check out any of those things, streaming-wise, I would definitely...
It's a big weekend for
streaming. It's a big weekend for streaming. I didn't even mention Cobra Kai Season 6 Part 2 comes out this weekend. So there's a lot of TV you can watch. And I honestly stay home and watch that stuff. Of course, you know, football and all that. But
yeah,
you know,
if you need to decompress, like maybe your team gets upset by a team who only can run the football because their quarterback can't throw beyond 5 yards. Maybe you want something to watch. I don't know why I'm being very specific.
That was very specific.
Just think back to Saturday starting at about 11 that lasted about 2:30, but felt like it was 8 p.m. because of how miserable I was. you might want to decompress with some TV if your team loses the game you don't think they should lose. and Michael's provided you with the options.
I'll keep that in mind. If Dan Mullen's right.
Yeah. It's in that same vein where...
Let's ask Will Muschamp what he thinks, too.
What's Jim McElwain think about a potential Texas upset? Thank you, Michael, for joining us. Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast.
What's on Will Muschamp's streaming list, watch list right now?
I'm sure it's just film.
Just like YouTube animal fights,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
You think gorilla that man, versus
you
crocodile.
You think that man is paying for Peacock or Prime? It's not a chance. Maybe Prime because it comes with Amazon.
He's
got stuff,
yeah,
delivered. But he's not paying for like Netflix or Apple
TV.
No.
I doubt it.
No. Man is watching Man versus Wild
in
over
Arcane,
and over again.
Probably.
Not a chance. Whoever's carrying Man versus Wild, I think is what he's watching.
He's like a Bear
Grylls.
Bear Grylls.
Yeah,
that's where I want.
He's a big survival guy. That's what Will Muschamp is watching in his spare time.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, Michael Carroll with Zhong Li. They are the hosts of Comicast. You can check them out, as I said, wherever you listen to your podcast. And of course, if you want to listen to them on Wednesday night, you can as well. 10 to 11 here on ESPN 97.5 Wednesday nights. Okay, we got one more segment to go. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We got a tweet. I think it was right before we got to talking about Kingston Fleming's the coup, new commitment, number one point guard in the country. I was asked how he fits, the same way all those point guards fit. Tough, defensive-minded, questions about his shot. But what he does and his ability to defend and get to the hoop is what Kelvin Sampson's looking for. The shot is secondary, and he's going to fit right in. A lot of their guys are, you want to call them program guys. They're certainly talented, but they have to be a fit. They're not going to morph the program around a player. If there are certain guys they won't recruit because they don't fit the profile of what a Coug is, and Kingston Fleming fits the profile. Fleming's, excuse me, with an S, fits the profile.
I would like
or fits the profile
if they just one guy who's like, all I do is shoot. Sorry.
Good luck. Good luck surviving in that program if that's all you
want.
My
goat, Jordan Poole. You guys can play all the defense.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson's not dealing with Jordan Poole.
Want me to want a pass? Get an offensive rebound. That's all you guys do anyway.
All you do is go chase your own misses anyway.
You just throw it at the rim and then...
And put it back up.
And then your offensive possession starts.
Yeah, it doesn't start until the offensive rebound is had. Sean, how careful do the Longhorns have to be in Fayetteville? I got an answer for you.
Oh.
Dan Mullen says very careful.
Oh.
They have to be very careful.
Thank you, Dan Mullen.
He reverts back to, it's an old Southwest Conference rivalry, and there's nothing Arkansas wants more to do than the ruined Texas season.
Yeah, that's what my parents told me, yeah.
Strong defense. They got an athlete like Talen Green, so he just wants you to remember that they beat Tennessee earlier this year at home.
I do remember that.
1914 was the final.
I do remember Texas' crappy SEC schedule filled with teams that beat all the good teams in the SEC.
So remember, when you're looking at that game and you're thinking, you know what, feeling pretty good, just remember your Longhorns have to be very careful going
to
Fayetteville.
No, I feel like it's a similar vibe to the fan base. The heartbeat of the fan base that I've been picking up this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar vibe to like the Georgia game where people are very confident in this win.
You guys were very confident about Georgia,
yes,
coming in? Big bad Georgia?
People were very confident about Georgia.
Look how that worked out.
Yeah. You do have to like transport yourself back before that game where
that's
like
true.
Georgia looked like crap for 3 weeks.
That's true. But and you know it's still Georgia though.
Yes.
But by the way, that doesn't really
no,
mean
you're
that
right.
much. That doesn't really mean that much. By the way, it's still Georgia. We saw what they look like against Ole Miss, so that doesn't mean that much.
I mean, we all know
this
that,
version of them.
We all know that Texas is Georgia's Super Bowl every year. We all know this.
That it's what everyone's saying.
Everyone's saying that.
Yes.
Right now on the radio. Right now, everyone's saying.
If you're
it
listening
on the radio.
To 97.5, well, one of us.
If you can hear my voice, you know that everyone's saying it. In that you can hear right now.
While the other one's laughing. Yes, sure.
But yeah, I mean, it is old Southwest Conference again.
Yes, and I don't know if the players are thinking this way, but I'm sure the people in the stands who grew up watching it are thinking, you know what we would love to do? Ruin Texas year. Ruin that year. You know what? Actually, it wouldn't be ruining their year because that would only be two losses, and they beat A&M. They would still make the playoff. So it wouldn't exactly ruin Texas's year.
I don't know.
But
all the schedule talk, I don't know.
I think Texas will be fine.
Does Arkansas become a good game if they win?
Does it become a good loss, you mean?
Yeah, or no, does it just become a good team when if they win?
No, they're a dangerous team. They're not a good team.
Okay.
They've proven to be dangerous because they've already beaten Tennessee at home.
Okay.
That's already been proven.
And then
on any given Saturday, Arkansas can be dangerous.
That is the SEC, any given Saturday.
Yeah, that's not tiresome to hear if you're not in the SEC, that particular tagline.
No, just unranked teams beat, you know.
Well, Georgia Tech just beat a top four team. That's not an SEC game. But that's different.
That's just because
Miami's not good enough.
Yeah,
that's different.
They suck.
Yes, yes, that's different. When it happens in another conference, yeah. It's different.
Yeah. Oh, ACC Coastal BS. Cool.
Understood. I correct myself. When it happens in non-SEC conferences, that just means that your top teams aren't very good.
Yeah.
When it happens in the SEC, it's because of how great the bottom of the conference is.
There we go. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. All right. Just don't lose to a bottom of a conference team then. How about we ask for that?
They're a middle of the conference team. Thank you very
There's
much.
So many teams. They're kind of bottom. they're not all the way at the bottom, but they're bottom. They're bottom third.
Yes.
There's so many teams. Someone's got to be in the bottom third, and Arkansas is one of them at 3-3. I don't think Texas is going to have any problems, but Dan Mullen does. The line is 6. Let's ask this before we go. Do they cover 16.5?
I don't think so. I don't know. I could see just like I could see a 2-touchdown win. I can see a touchdown loss. I can see a 4-touchdown loss.
4-touchdown loss?
I just don't want people to think I'm overlooking Arkansas. I don't want Dan Mullen to think I'm overlooking Arkansas. They have Vince Young at quarterback.
I said a knockoff Vince Young because of his size and the number he wears. I didn't say it was Vince Young. Don't put that on me. We're done for the week. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. Hey, Jason Tatum, don't go 0-2 in the NBA Cup. How about you win a game? We'll see if he does that tonight. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.